142 Vermonters died by suicide in 2021, the highest yearly total in state history, and most of them happened using firearms. Vermont lawmakers want to bring those numbers down by making it harder for people in crisis to gain access to guns. But some legal experts are raising questions about the constitutionality of new gun control measures making their way through the legislature. On this week's edition of the Capitol Recap, reporter Pete Hirschfeld is here to walk us through the legislation and parse some of the legal complexities. Hey, Pete.
Hi, Jen.
So what types of gun measures are lawmakers pursuing, Pete? And how do they relate to the broader goal of preventing self-harm?
The bill has a number of provisions, but I'm going to focus on two that are getting a lot of attention. And those are a 72-hour waiting period for all gun purchases, and then a so-called state safe storage provision. And that would require gun owners to keep their weapons securely locked when they're not using them, of course, if that person knows or reasonably should know that a child or someone else who shouldn't have access to a gun would otherwise be able to gain access to that gun. One thing that's driving these provisions, Jen, is the fact that young people in Vermont are less likely than their peers in other states to report feelings of sadness or hopelessness or suicidal thoughts. And yet our rate of suicide deaths here is higher than the national average, sort of the opposite of what you'd think, right? There's some incongruity there. Essex Junction Representative Lori Houghton is the chair of the House Committee on Child Care. She says she's convinced that easy access to guns is the reason that we see so many suicide deaths in this state. Research conducted by the RAND Corporation found that gun ownership rates in Vermont are 50% higher than the national average. And Houghton think there's a correlation there between that and suicide deaths in Vermont.
Children who live in a home with a firearm are 4.4 times more likely to die by suicide. And Vermont has a high percentage of homes with guns in them and a high percentage where they do not lock them. And so we just felt to make the biggest impact immediately is to focus on the lethality.
Houghton says the more time you can create between the moment that somebody has a suicidal impulse and the moment that they're able to obtain a firearm, the less likely it is they're going to die. And she says these provisions allow time for that impulse to pass, which she says is critically important because the majority of people who attempt suicide will never do so again.
But Pete, some opponents of waiting periods and the safe storage provision say they're unconstitutional. And they cite a recent U.S. Supreme Court decision in making that argument. So what is the significance of that Supreme Court ruling, and how is it weighing on deliberations in the Vermont State House?
Last year, there was a case called the New York State Rifle and Pistol Association versus Bruin. And in that case, the U.S. Supreme Court struck down a law that required New Yorkers to obtain a license in order to carry a concealed firearm. In its majority ruling, Supreme Court justices created a new precedent for the manner in which courts should assess the constitutionality of restrictions on gun ownership. And opponents of waiting periods and safe storage, as well as legal experts who don't necessarily have a dog in that fight, say provisions like safe storage, like waiting periods, are not likely to survive a constitutional challenge under this legal framework established in the Bruin case. There are other very sharp legal minds who say states will absolutely be able to move forward with laws that regulate the sale and transfer of firearms. The House Judiciary Committee is hearing cases from both sides this week. And Representative South Burlington Representative Martin Lalonde says there's just a lot of legal ambiguity right now in this post-Bruin landscape.
And what we've heard from our legislative council is it's really hard to tell on whether certain policies will end up being constitutional or not. So in other words, he can't say this is not constitutional. He can't say definitively this is constitutional.
Lalonde says he personally at this point thinks the provisions are defensible, but he says he can't be sure and neither can anyone else really. But he says the potential public health benefits of waiting periods and safe storage outweigh that ambiguity. And he says Vermont should move forward now with legislation and not wait for however many years it takes to resolve these uncertainties.
So, Pete, what's next for this legislation? And what's the likelihood we see it enacted into law?
The full House is scheduled to vote on this bill next week, Jen. Then it heads to the Senate, where Senate President Pro Tem Phil Baruth has already signaled that a majority of that body will enthusiastically embrace the legislation. Governor Phil Scott, though, has indicated that he is not on board. He said this week that any significant changes to gun laws this year are a, quote, non-starter for him. So we could find ourselves in a situation at the end of the session where the fate of this bill hinges on veto override votes in the House and Senate.
That's Vermont Public reporter Pete Hirschfeld. Thanks so much, Pete.
Thank you, Jen.
And if you or someone you know is in crisis, call 988 to reach the Suicide and Crisis Lifeline.